Welcome back into Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning. And it is indeed that time of the week. We bring in our man, Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Nate and TD, and Talking with TD now on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. TD, what's going on, man? How we doing?
Hey, what's going on, man? It's a great morning. Getting ready to kick off a playoff weekend. So, man, I can't help but smile.
Absolutely. It's hard to ask for more than that this time of year, TD. And Titans fans fired up about this matchup against the Ravens. And TD, we've talked to you all year long about the defense and the struggles that they've had. But the Titans do have experience slowing down Lamar Jackson and this Ravens offense. So as you look at that matchup, how do you think the Titans match up in this game?
Yeah, that's actually the subject of my Whiteboard Wednesday video this week. And I think really what you have to do is get your guys on the field that play best in space. So, fortunately for the Titans' sake, they do really well as far as defending the run out of dime packages, right? And you can have all three of those safeties as well as Desmond King on the field in addition to your corners. And the thing that's really good about that is all of those guys tackle pretty well, right? And Adoree Jackson, even, you know, Malcolm Butler, you see how he plays, you know, what they call him, a swamp rat. So these guys, getting able to have those guys all on the field that play better in space but yet can still defend the run is really good. Kenny Vaccaro is a key player, in my opinion, because that guy, he may not fill up the stat sheet or anything like that, but if you love just rugged, hard-nosed, selling out football, He is someone that you would love to watch, and that's why I enjoy watching them. So you have that, and I think it's really important just to, you know, be very sound, be very disciplined. Mike Vrabel has talked about that all week. You got to trust your eyes and you read your keys. You know, those phrases keep coming out because they like to get you in space, get you one-on-one, and you know, as Shane Bowen said, make you miss, and that's what they do really well. So it's important to do that and match up against them. So I think that's really the perspective. And David Long, I think, will need to have a big game.
Yeah, so TD, you mentioned that the Titans, they've got some physicality, and everyone, all 11 against that offense, you have to tackle, you have to swarm, and that they can do that out of dime, maybe better than some teams. How much do you think they'll be in that? And then how do you think they will – deal with Mark Andrews in this matchup?
Well, yeah, that's the thing that's really interesting. I want to see how they match up and how much they are in that. I would imagine they'll be in it a lot. And I think, you know, they don't have a huge drop-off when they do that. This is probably a game where Jack Crawford probably won't play a lot of snaps. I would expect to see Jeffrey Simmons and Tart on the field a whole lot and Jones mixing in there, but Harold Landry as well. I think they'll do it pretty much. And don't be surprised if they try to bring out something that they haven't really used much, and that's that psycho blitz, right, where they have everybody standing up. It'll just be two linemen, but Harold Landry will be in there, and everybody will be standing up. And you don't really know who's going to blitz, who's dropping, and that's something else that they could do. Because I think when you're going against a guy like Lamar Jackson, you got to try to confuse him, and that will, the confusion will slow him down a bit. You know, I think it's very critical to do that.
TD, what kind of an opportunity is this for Ryan Tannehill in this postseason run? Like, you and me and Joe and people around here locally who have watched him play for the last 2 years, we know what he is. We know how good he is. We know how well he's played for this Titans team. But from a national perspective, in terms of respect at that position, how big of an opportunity is this playoff run for Ryan Tannehill in that regard?
I think this playoff run is huge for Ryan Tannehill. And you know what? I'm going to say this. For the past year and a half, I've said that he was a high-level game manager, right? And it's not a negative thing. I was just saying he was playing within the scheme. I'm going to tell you that Ryan Tannehill is no longer a high-level game manager. He's actually he's elevated from that. He's a guy that you will go out and say, hey, I need you to win this game for me. Not by making one or two big plays. I need you to step up and win this game for me. That's what they'll say. And I think, you know, the perfect example of that is Mike Vrabel going to him and saying, hey, just put one up there to AJ. because we're going to go for it. And that's what Tannehill said that he was told, you know, and that's an example. This is a huge thing for him because he's on a national stage, and I think Tannehill is just as talented as any quarterback in the league. And the thing that I love about watching him is the balance, right? Everyone talks about how, you know, play action is the big thing for him, and it is. But he could also sit in that pocket and deliver down the field with the best of them. You look at some of those throws he makes, those deep throws, it's like he stood over top and just dropped it into their hands. And then on top of that, this is a guy that has 7 rushing touchdowns. And we're not talking about all 2-yard touchdowns. We're talking about 40-yarders, 20-yarders. We're talking about times in which he hits 19 to 20 miles per hour, you know, on the radar. So this dude is absolutely legit, and I think this is a great opportunity for him to show the whole league that he's legit, and he's not just, you know, a slight progression from the guy that was in Miami.
So, TD, we find out that Aaron Brewer goes on the reserve COVID list yesterday. Roger Saffold, you know, said he's absolutely going to play, but obviously he's been banged up and he had to leave the game Sunday. The Ravens bringing back Calais Campbell, Brandon Williams. How different do you think it looks up front in this game for the Titans, both in terms of, you know, run blocking for Derrick Henry, but also protecting Tannehill?
It looks a lot different up front. And here's something to kind of look at. The Titans and Derrick Henry in that line, they haven't faced Brandon Williams and Calais Campbell together yet. So you look at those two guys. You're talking about someone, you know, who just is able to use that length and strength that he has to really, you know, occupy space in that on the line. And then you got Brandon Williams, one of the strongest players in the league and quietly one of the best run defenders. That could be a definite problem. But the good thing for the Titans is they like to run a lot of outside zones, stretch, that type of stuff. So they're not always going to be running right at those guys. However, even on those plays, they got to keep those guys, Campbell and Williams, from getting that instant penetration and kind of, you know, interfering with Henry's path and his getting to his landmark. So that's something to watch, man. But I think, you know, Jamil Douglas, if he comes into the game, watch that last Jaguars game. You know, where Ngakoue and Campbell, they're running TE stunts and just doing all kinds of things, and they pretty much had their way with Douglas. So you don't want to see that happen. I think Saffold's strength against their strength is definitely going to be a big thing. And these are the type of games where why they signed Saffold to that big contract, because he's a key player when they're going against the better interior guys.
ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter Teron Davenport on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, TD, Arthur Smith obviously getting a lot of attention in terms of head coaching jobs that are out there. We had Lewis Riddick on yesterday on our show, and Riddick basically said that Arthur Smith is can't miss. He's going to be a head coach, and he's a guy that's going to do well as a head coach. When you evaluate the job openings out there, where do you think's the best fit for Arthur Smith, and how do you think he'll do as a head coach in the NFL?
Well, I'll say this. I really like Coach Art. I really like what he does. I like his personality. He's always willing to, you know, you may not get the best in Zoom, but, you know, when you talk to him outside of there, how we used to be able to at the facility, he's awesome, you know, and I think he is going to be good. I've talked to Lou Riddick about him a lot, you know, Dan Orlovsky as well. Both of those guys really endorse him. And for me, you know, I think it's just his ability to be that harsh critic of a player, but then his ability to pull him aside, you know, and tell him, look, this is what I'm trying to get across here. You know, and that's a big time thing. I think just what he's able to do as far as devising schemes and layering plays together, in addition to, you know, putting guys in better position with shifts and motions, it's awesome. You talk to any of the guys, they love what he does, the balance too that he's found. So that being said, 2 spots for me really stand out. I would hate to see him go, so I can't say I would love to see him somewhere else, but I think if he went to say, I almost said San Diego. When he went to, if he went to the Chargers, I think that would be a really good fit. Whereas they could get a guy like Najee Harris in the draft, you know, and now you have that horse back there. You have that quarterback that could throw the ball down the field. You got the two weapons on the outside. You got the tight end. You're in pretty good shape there. So I think that would be an option. Also, I feel that he would absolutely be intriguing to the Jets, you know, and I would hate to place Coach Smith in a situation like the Jets, but I think with their cap situation, with their draft capital, I think they could put some things together, and he would have to be intriguing to Joe Douglas because of his emphasis on running the football. So clearly they would have to go out and get a guy. Guess who's going to be a free agent? Nick Chubb, you know, so that is something that they could do. And then in addition to that, you look at what he was able to do with Ryan Tannehill to flip things around. Who knows? Maybe he could do that with Sam Darnold. But what he did with Tannehill would obviously be appealing. But, you know, Darnold would have to do the things that Tannehill did to turn the career around. So I think those would be two really good places for him.
Yeah, you know, now that you mention it, there's some people it's more than others, but – with him in particular, the Zoom versus the live, that's a pretty massive difference. My God, I'm just so sick of Zoom. Well, since we're on this track, TD, let's take it the next step then. I think he's probably going to be somewhere unless he just really doesn't, you know, he just doesn't have an opportunity that he loves and he wants to stay. But if he does go, do you think that it's more likely that Vrabel goes internal just because of what they have rolling right now with that staff collectively, and if or not, but if so, who would you say would be the number one internal candidate?
It would be tough to say a number one. I would say Todd Downing or Pat O'Hara just because they have experience, but guess what? Arthur Smith didn't have experience and he stepped in and now we're talking about him being a head coach. So, it's really tough to say. That whole staff is just really good. And it would be tough for me to say. If I had to go one, I would say Pat O'Hara, because he's been with him the longest, you know, dating back to their Houston days. But I want to say this. Tony Dews is an outstanding running backs coach. He doesn't get his flowers like he should.
Yeah.
But if you look at Derrick Henry's improvement with footwork, and Joe, you've been in practice and you've seen him work with the trash cans and the cones and the bags and all that stuff. There's a reason why Derrick Henry. Now, I asked him yesterday about it. He said it comes naturally, and it has come naturally, but there has been an improvement as well. So got to shout out Tony Dews, the running backs coach.
ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Nate and TD, and talking with TD, Teron Davenport, has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. TD, great stuff, man. Hope you enjoy the game on Sunday.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You guys, too, man. Enjoy the games this weekend.
Absolutely. Teron Davenport, our man here on Robbie and Rex Show. When we come back, we'll get into Derrick Henry a little bit more. Can he continue to build on what's already been a very impressive playoff resume? We'll discuss that when we come back. And remember, 102.5 The Game Nashville has your chance to win a Nashville Predators reverse retro jersey and a copy of the EA Sports NHL 21 video game. Be listening in at 8:45 a.m. every morning this week for the keyword of the day, and then text that keyword into the game text line at 615-737-1025, and you'll be entered for a chance to win. The winner will be announced next Thursday, January the 14th, so make sure that you're listening in for that. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
This is a huge game. It's a huge game for the Tennessee Titans, but even a bigger game for Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. You got the three-headed monster running game with Lamar and Dobbins along with Mark Ingram. This one against the Tennessee Titans should be a doozy. They can run the ball and Tennessee can't stop it. But on the flip side of things, you got a one-headed monster in Derrick Henry, 6'4", 260 some odd pounds, sub 4'4" type guy. They don't want to get in the way of that. Baltimore's got to thump him in the hole. He's the type of back that likes to bounce things, get out on the perimeter against those little defensive backs that don't want to tackle him. Make him stop his feet in the hole, rally to the point of attack like Calais Campbell and those guys, and hit him, knock him down. You'll have an opportunity to win this football game. Otherwise, you can go home disappointed.
That was Keyshawn Johnson from ESPN looking ahead to the matchup between the Titans and the Ravens coming up on Sunday. And obviously, Joe, Derrick Henry going to get a lot of, you know, attention nationally and talking points heading into this game about the Ravens, the success he's had against the Ravens, the success he's had in general in the playoffs. And you look back at Derrick Henry's playoff career so far, and it's been very, very impressive. Obviously, we know what happened last year, 34 carries, 182 yards, and a touchdown against the Patriots. Against Baltimore, 30 carries for 195 yards. And Joe, you even brought it up earlier in the week, you know, thinking back to when he wasn't even really the full-time guy at running back against Kansas City in that win in 2017, 23 carries, 156 yards, and a touchdown in that game, and they don't win that game without him. So he's had some big moments already in his playoff career. As you just evaluate where the Titans are right now, especially on the other side of the ball defensively, what kind of an opportunity, what kind of a responsibility is Derrick Henry going to have in these playoffs that the Titans are going to make any noise whatsoever to have a repeat performance of what he did last year in the playoffs against this Baltimore team?
Yeah, well, I don't think he needs to go for 195 for them to win. And I don't think he has to have – I don't think he has to go in every game thinking, man, I better be close to 200 yards or we're not going to win. I mean, this offense is good enough with balance that, you know, they can win with a Derrick. They've had some great outputs this year, overall performances in which he didn't have monster games, you know. I mean, 100 yards plus, that's a good – you know, I think that's a good benchmark, but I think if you have that along with Tannehill playing at his highest level, you're going to score a lot of points. Derrick Henry, like you said, I mean, he's had a tremendous start to his career. He needs 147 yards to be this franchise's all-time leading postseason rusher already. And again, Eddie George had a lot of big postseason games, but he's and Earl Campbell played a lot of playoff games too. So, I mean, he's already there. I mean, only two people in NFL history have more yards in their first five playoff games than Derrick Henry does. Derrick Henry's at 630. The only two guys better were Terrell Davis, 672, by the way, won Super Bowls in that mix, and John Riggins, 640, also won a Super Bowl in that and lost another one. So kind of interesting, too, that the two guys ahead of him weren't just prolific rushers. They were part of, you know, championships. And obviously he got it. Derrick Henry carried a team to the AFC title game. But I look, they are right now, they've got the balance and the all around potency on offense that I don't think that this is all on Derrick Henry at all. I mean, it's on everyone to be able to sustain drives and finish them in the red zone. And he's going to end up, of course, having a number if they're going to win. I mean, if they're going to win, they're going to have the ball a lot. They're going to have long drives. They're going to finish those drives, and he's going to be a part of it. But I don't look at this, and I think probably some people around the league do look at it like, well, if Derrick Henry carries them to a win, they'll win. It's really not that simple.
It's not that simple, and you know that it's going to be a big point of emphasis, obviously, for the Ravens defensively to stop him. Now, it was a big point of emphasis for them to stop him last year in the playoffs, and they didn't. It was a big point of emphasis for them to stop him earlier this year in the regular season game. And I thought they did a good job on him for the most part until the end of the fourth quarter and kind of roll it into overtime there. And he ends the game with the walk-off moment there in overtime. So that's the thing with Derrick Henry that makes him so difficult. Like, you can do a good job on him for a quarter, a half, maybe even three quarters of a game, but he can just break out at any time, run right over you and run into the end zone. And, you know, you heard Keyshawn Johnson talking to begin the segment, you know, having Calais Campbell back in the fold if you're Baltimore, and just kind of the depth you have now up the middle to try to stop him before he gets going. That's always been the game plan. I think a lot of teams try to do that every week, but as Lewis Riddick said yesterday on the show, that's part of what makes Derrick Henry so good and maybe potentially one day a Hall of Fame running back is. A lot of times you know what the Titans are doing. You know what formation they're in. You know where the ball's going, and you still can't stop it. We saw that with Derrick Henry last year in the playoffs. I think there will be instances where you see that again coming up on Sunday.
Yeah, and look, it's like TD pointed out last segment. I mean, they have not seen this particular combination inside when you talk about Campbell and Brandon Williams, and they didn't see either of them in the first meeting, and still the Ravens did a good job. Again, Saffold also didn't play in that game. A healthy, strong Saffold is a big deal. like TD said, I mean, you know, it's outside zone is the bread and butter of this offense for Derrick Henry. And obviously, in theory, that takes away some of the impact of interior players. But if they can dominate and they can disrupt what you're trying to do, then, you know, that's a big deal. I mean, it's going to be really interesting to see how Arthur Smith chooses to attack this defense, given the difference in personnel from last time to this time.
It is. And, you know, the conversation we had the other day when we were talking about the poll question that Joe Rexroad ripped that Ryan Porth came up with of Derrick Henry and where he fits in to the discussion of all-time Titans and, you know, how far away is he from Steve McNair? How far away is he from Eddie George of getting right there among those names? Like, when you talk about the Tennessee Titans and their franchise, the names and the conversations that you start with are Steve McNair, Eddie George, and Derrick Henry. Well, to me, the way you make up ground right now, if you're Derrick Henry, is these moments in the playoffs when things matter the most, when you've got to have that next-level type of performance that we've seen from Derrick Henry. He's been able to do it. He's been able to respond. And now more opportunities for him in this playoff run. This is where, I mean, the 2,000 yards in the regular season, a heck of an accomplishment. The back-to-back rushing titles is great, and you're talking about elite company that he's in. But where you can really start to build on this legacy if you're Derrick Henry is in the playoffs. And to me, the way he's running right now, he has got a heck of an opportunity to do so as you forecast what a deep playoff run for the Titans is probably going to take.
Right, and within that 630, like you said, I mean, you're talking about 150 huge yards for a backup running back in that game in Kansas City. Now, he didn't do much the next week. Really, the Titans were overmatched against New England. They played from behind. They lost Jack Conklin to an ACL. And then, you know, the Chiefs did a good job against Derrick Henry. I mean, 69 yards. Yep. He was having a really good half. Then it gets away from him, and they, you know, a lot of that second half, he was not on the field. That's, I mean, if you're playing the Titans, that's what you want. You say, let's put 22 on the sideline. But one thing the Titans have been really good about, and again, even in that game in November, down 21-10, and in other games in the last couple of years, Arthur Smith has, I think, made a point of, you know what, even though the game at Indy last year was another example, going to stick to Derrick Henry and keep running him and do, and even against the Cleveland Browns this year, there was a little bit of like, how are they still running the ball? But, you know, they actually did make a comeback in that game, still being a balanced offense. So they're going to stick with it probably more, you know, beyond what a lot of teams would with their running game. But I mean, I guess that makes sense when it's your best football player too.
So for Titans fans, as you look ahead to this game coming up on Sunday, if you had to identify an X factor on offense and an X factor on defense, who would those players be? Let us know on our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll discuss that when we come back. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game, taking you through this Friday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. Looking ahead to the matchup between the Titans and the Ravens coming up on Sunday. We're going to begin the 9 o'clock hour. Former Ravens wide receiver Qadri Ismail will join us, getting into all things Baltimore Ravens with him. So looking forward to that discussion. And Joe, we asked before the break about X factors for the Titans offensively and defensively heading to this game. If you've got those out there, let us know on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So Joe, let's start offensively in this discussion, because it's interesting with as many guys that have played well offensively this year, like identifying an X factor could be pretty tough in this discussion for the Titans looking ahead against the Ravens. But if you had to start, who would be your X factor offensively for the Titans heading in this game, excluding the obvious ones of, you know, Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry? Those guys to me don't count as X factors anymore.
By the way, well, this reminds me of a recent Twitter discussion I had with our Chase McCabe. I don't remember what game it was, but Tannehill did something, and McCabe and Chase is like, I said that Tannehill could be the X factor in this game. And I tweeted him, I'm like, wait, QBs can be an X factor? I did not know this, Chase McCabe. But anyway, we'll continue that discussion another time. For me, I'm going Hava all the way. Give me Anthony Firkser.
Yeah.
He had four catches for 33 in the first game. You know, we haven't, you know, there's been no movement on the Adam Humphries front. I think it's safe to say his season's over. Sad and scary, really, for him, given how it's all gone down this year. And I've thought about Jonnu Smith some here, too. But I just think Firkser is kind of the de facto slot receiver for this team now. And some of those, you know, third mediums, you got to, you know, just get a quick chain mover to somebody. He's a guy that Tannehill has great chemistry with. We've kind of seen, you know, Batson and especially Raymond have kind of faded in terms of, you know, being targeted in this offense. And I just think Firkser's a guy who's lined up to be in position to be targeted for some big plays, not big plays, but on some big plays, some big moments to move the chains and maybe in the red zone on Sunday.
So let's go ahead and bring this point of discussion up. I need your opinion on it. Does Corey Davis count as an X factor?
I mean, according to Chase McCabe, yes.
Well, when you start listing weapons on the Derrick Henry, Titans offense, X factor. He's like fourth. So is that an X factor? Like, can your fourth best weapon be an X factor?
That's a I'm gonna have to say no. I think it. I mean, I think if you got basically 2,000-yard receivers, a 2,000-yard back, and a 3,500-yard quarterback, I think those guys are all eliminated, right?
That's fine.
Porth, but I know that leaves you with it doesn't leave you with a lot.
I mean, it leaves me with Jonnu, pretty much. So that's going to be the way I go.
Offensive lineman.
I think Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry, and A.J. Brown are all X-Factors in this game.
Thank you. We appreciate that. Very good. I mean, it's got to be Jonnu, though, right? Because we talked about it yesterday on the show, and we had Jonnu Smith on, and he really wouldn't get into it that much. But, I mean, you could tell. I mean, obviously his role has changed in the offense since Taylor Lewan went down with injury, and he's been asked to do more from a blocking standpoint. Now, they have targeted him a bit more as of late, with the Houston game being the exception. I mean, Green Bay, he gets targeted 7 times. Detroit, he gets targeted 5 times. He only has 1 catch last week in the Houston game for 8 yards in that game. So, obviously, they're not using him as much as probably everyone feels like they should be, just given the situation they have. But he's still a guy where if I'm Arthur Smith, I find different ways to get the ball in his hands. I think if there's one complaint that you have about this Titans offense this year, that to me is it, that they have not found enough different ways to get that guy the ball and let him do damage with it after. I mean, we talk about A.J. Brown, how dangerous he is after the catch. The Baltimore Ravens obviously know that firsthand from what he did to them last game. Derrick Henry as well. Jonnu Smith, I don't know if he's right there in that discussion, but he's pretty close to being just as dangerous with the ball in his hands from some of the highlights that we've seen. And I think the Titans, they need to do a better job of giving him more opportunities to do so.
Yeah, now listen, I don't disagree with you. I also think you could look at that as a – you could look at that as – like if I'm looking at Arthur Smith as another team, I'm also looking at the Jonnu Smith situation as another example of why I want to hire this guy.
Yeah.
Because this is how he figured out how to keep this at a 30-point-a-week offense. You know, I mean, again, we're talking about 18 catches – and 5 touchdowns in the first 4 weeks of the season for Jonnu Smith. And you're talking, now I'm doing the bad math, you know, 250 yards. Okay. So he's on pace right there to go 70, 1,020 this year. Now he's not going to do that. He was not going to do that, but he was he was going to be a breakout star. And what happens the next game? Taylor Lewan tears his ACL. And so, I mean, look, this is taking your parts and rearranging them and trying to figure out a way to make it work, because your quarterback has to be upright to throw the ball. But I agree with you that any little, you know, moment you can sneak him out, guys, give him a pitch like they did a couple times last year, whatever, get the ball in his hands in space. He's a terror, and I think it would be big for the Titans if they can scheme that up Sunday and any game they have this remaining postseason, because he's that talented.
So switching gears to the other side of the ball, then, I know it's easy to look at the Titans defense and say, yeah, I mean, like, everybody, you're gonna have to be an X factor in that game given how poorly they've played all year. But if you had to identify one X factor for the Titans on defense in this matchup against the Ravens, Lamar Jackson and that offense, who would you start with?
So, again, I'll say X factor to me has got to be pretty under the radar. But I'm going to go back to a guy TD mentioned at the top of the hour, Tyrre Tart. You know, I think they found something with him. And at times, I think he's really been an impressive, disruptive, powerful guy in there. And I just think in this matchup, the more that you can mess up their timing and get somebody into the backfield and you know, make them adjust because you are being disruptive up front, the better you have a chance to deal with this running game. So, you know, if Tyrre Tart can be a force in this game, I think that helps Jeffrey Simmons too. And between the two of them, you know, I think that you could have a nice combo to help everything else be a little bit easier as all 11 guys try to deal with a rushing attack that, listen, Titans have done a really good job on it in two games, but it's a rushing attack that could go for 250 or 300 on Sunday if they aren't careful.
And I'm going to go with Amani Hooker as my X factor for this Titans defense. I think quietly, kind of under the radar, had a pretty good season. Four interceptions on the season for Amani Hooker, including one against Baltimore in the first matchup between these teams earlier on this season. He's a guy, a big pick last week as well against Houston in that game. Obviously, at safety, you know, Kevin Byard and Kenny Vaccaro, the conversation starts with those guys. But Amani Hooker has shown that when he's got an opportunity to break on the ball, to make a big play and create a turnover, he's capable of doing that. And you just look at the state of this Titans defense. I agree with Jim Wyatt yesterday. Like, they're not all of a sudden just going to flip this switch and become the shutdown defense. But what you can do is create plays of turnovers, get the ball back in the hands of your offense, get a hand up, knock a ball down at the line of scrimmage. And I think Amani Hooker has shown that he's got a nose for the football this year.
Well, and correct me if I'm wrong, Vaccaro did not play the first time around.
That is correct.
Is that correct? Yeah. And Hooker was involved in good and bad plays in that game.
Yes.
But I like that pick. I like that pick. And, you know, if TD's right and they are in dime a lot, and I think, you know, I mean, again, you could have different kinds of looks too and not be in your straight up dime, which is, of course, six defensive backs. You know, you could still have three safeties out there in different looks. And I think there's a great chance of that happening in this game. And that's a guy who can absolutely have a factor.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate texts in and says, Kevin Byard needs to show us why he's a Pro Bowler. He hasn't played well this season, but I believe in my fellow Blue Raider. So Kevin Byard, certainly not somebody that, you know, probably you would identify as an X factor, but this is going to be important, you know, in terms of creating turnovers, like I talked about, keeping the defense or keeping the offense in front of you and not getting burned down the field, which Lamar Jackson can do. Going to need to have a big game from Kevin Byard.
Exactly. Yeah, he's the guy, and we did that earlier in the week, but if you're going to pick someone, you know, on this defense to have a huge game, if Kevin Byard has a huge game, that to me means at least one turnover forced, and it means that he's, you know, playing great in terms of, you know, stopping the run and all that, and that would be a big deal for this defense.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Matt texts in and says, do y'all buy into the narrative that Lamar Jackson hasn't won a playoff game and that's going to be in his head, or do you think that's motivation and he comes out and plays better because of it? Joe, how would you answer that?
Yeah, so I'm trying to remember who was talking, even earlier on the show, talking about like Tannehill, we're talking about like motivation and all that stuff. You know, it's interesting to me at the quarterback position. I feel like if you're a D lineman or a linebacker, you're like angry about something, like, you know, you go hit somebody, right? But I don't know if stuff like that helps a quarterback. I mean, this is about being cool and calm and reading things and executing. So I don't know that it's really that big of a deal. I think the overall discussion with Lamar Jackson and this offense asking, can this actually win you a Super Bowl? I think that's fair. But Lamar Jackson has played in two playoff games. You know, as a rookie who just came in late, the Chargers had a nice plan and they stopped that offense. And then last year, the Titans did a great job and he had turnovers and they had the fourth down stops. I think we're way early on this whole Lamar Jackson, you know, all this weight on his shoulders. I mean, he's played two games. So I think he's going to play well. But it comes down to, is he going to, you know, is he going to be a second late when someone's open in the end zone like he was in November?
Yeah.
That's some of the criticism of him. Can he get that ball there right now on time? You know, and of course, can he break out? Can the Titans keep him hemmed in like they've done pretty well? Or is he going to play his game and have 120 rushing yards of his own here? So I don't know. I think he's going to play well. I just think it's a chess match, and there are always a handful of plays in every game, and it's still going to be on him to make some of those tight window throws, I think, to actually pull this out.
And if you're a Titans fan, like, you know how dangerous Lamar Jackson is. You know what he's able to do both in the running game and in the passing game as well. But what scares you the most outside of Lamar Jackson about this Baltimore Ravens team? We'll discuss that when we come back. And remember, I'll also have today's keyword for your chance to win a Nashville Predators reverse retro jersey and a copy of the EA Sports NHL 21 video game. All that coming up. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Former Ravens wide receiver Kadri Ismail will join us to begin the 9 o'clock hour. We'll get into all things Baltimore Ravens with him, so looking forward to that conversation coming up. But right now, I have got today's keyword of the day. Today's keyword of the day is gold. Keyword of the day is gold. Text it in now to the game text line at 615-737-1025 to be entered to win a Nashville Predators reverse retro jersey and a copy of the EA Sports NHL 21 video game brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Be tuning in Monday at 8:45 for the next keyword. The winner will be announced on Thursday, January the 14th. And also make sure you're tuning in every Preds game day morning at 8:45 this season for your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click, which is also brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. So make sure you're sending in those texts right now at 615-737-1025. Looking ahead to this matchup for the Titans against the Ravens coming up on Sunday, and we talked about a little bit the pressure on Lamar Jackson heading into this game. I think sometimes way overblown. We've only seen him in two playoff games, but there is, I think, a valid question of this offense, what it looks like as you move forward, and can you really win a Super Bowl with Lamar Jackson and the way the Ravens like to play offensively. Max Kellerman from ESPN was looking ahead at this matchup between the Titans and the Ravens and offered his thoughts on Lamar Jackson. Here's what Max Kellerman had to say.
Lamar Jackson, I'm the one who's pointed it out consistently. Everyone's like, well, he can't beat good teams. No, he's beaten plenty of good teams. Lamar Jackson can beat good teams. The question is, can he win? Can Lamar lead you to victory when the lights are shining brightest? When you play Pittsburgh with Roethlisberger? Nope, lost. When you play the Chiefs with Mahomes, right? If you're in the AFC, you got to beat Mahomes and the Chiefs. If you're in the AFC North, got to beat Roethlisberger and the Steelers, can't do it. In the AFC, you got to beat the Chiefs, can't do it. 0-3. 0-1 against Roethlisberger, Steelers, 0-3 against the Chiefs. If you want to win a Super Bowl, you got to win in the playoffs, right? 0-2. 0-6. Dude almost never loses otherwise. Beating plenty of good teams, not just the good teams. It's when the lights shine brightest.
So, Joe, as you hear those comments from Max Kellerman there, obviously, and the way that he's defined that, 0-6 when the lights are shining the brightest, including the playoffs and obviously the matchups against Kansas City, and that right now, of course, the gold standard in the AFC. Is there anything to that? Is there too much blame being cast towards Lamar Jackson with those comments?
Well, first of all, it also goes to the quarterback, you know, too much blame, too much credit. That's part of it. But, I mean, I think back to the lights were on and the season was on the line a month ago in Cleveland. And the guy was absolutely magnificent despite, you know, having his own issues that night that are well chronicled. I mean, I can't remember his entire – it's not that long – but he's had other big games that he's played great in. I mean, you go 14-2 last year and win the MVP. Were those all crappy noon games?
Right.
I mean, I guess I'll go back and look, but I think that sounded to me like someone trying to make a case and spinning things to make the case. All that said, look, he's got to win a playoff game for people to stop talking about this stuff. And the Chiefs game this year was one of those. To me, that was the moment when we realized that just the Chiefs are way better than the Ravens.
Right.
And going into the year, that was kind of a question. But it was also it wasn't a great performance by him. So, I mean, it's fair. If you perform like that in a game like that, it's just going to feed the narrative.
So, Joe, as you look at this Ravens team, if you're the Titans heading into this matchup, you've got some experience against this group. What scares you the most about the Ravens if you're the Titans outside of Lamar Jackson and the unique skill set that he brings to the table?
I mean, it's just very simply what they do great, and that's running the football. You have one of eight guys to exceed 2,000 yards in a season. One of the great seasons by a running back, one of the great runs by a running back. Derrick Henry has almost 4,200 yards in the past two calendar years. You start with that Jacksonville game end of 2018 season, 4,200 yards for him since then, playoff and regular season. And yet you were the number two rushing offense this year to the Ravens. And you've done a good job, but again, that guarantees nothing, especially because it does look like that they've taken it to a new level here as they've made this run to get in the playoffs. Gus Edwards, that's the power guy. J.K. Dobbins, the rookie, kind of reminds me of Jonathan Taylor with the Colts, kind of finding his footing and really taking it up a level late in his rookie year. Mark Ingram is no slouch either, by the way. And obviously the quarterback and the Titans have done a really good job. Although the numbers have been good for Lamar Jackson, I just feel like they've done a good job for the most part of, you know, spying him, swarming him, keeping him lateral and all that stuff. That's still the thing that scares you the most by far in this game.
Yeah, it's interesting when you look at J.K. Dobbins and just his trajectory from the season, especially, you know, rushing the ball. I mean, he had two touchdowns in the first game for the Ravens against Cleveland, and then really was struggling to find his way after that. He had a big game against Pittsburgh, finished with 15 carries for 113 yards in week eight. But the Titans game, I thought, was really when the Ravens settled in on J.K. Dobbins, and he became the featured back for them, 15 carries for 70 yards and a touchdown in that game. And ever since the Titans game, Joe, every game that J.K. Dobbins has been in, he has scored a touchdown. I mean, we were talking, you know, Dallas game. He had two last week against Cincinnati. He's become the lead back, kind of the go-to guy there, outside, of course, of Lamar Jackson, who's still a huge part of the running game. And last week, 13 carries, 160 yards, and two touchdowns for J.K. Dobbins. I realize it was against Cincinnati, and they're not a very good team, but it's not like there's this elite-level rush defense you're going up this week against the Titans either. So I know there's a lot to be concerned about Lamar Jackson, but right now with the run that J.K. Dobbins is on, that's what you really can't allow to kill you on Sunday if you're the Titans. You can live with Lamar making plays every now and then, but what you can't have is Lamar making plays and then J.K. Dobbins just gashing it right up the middle in addition to it.
Yeah, and then what you really can't have as you add on to that, and this is the problem with playing the Ravens, is then the big shot over your head because, you know, your safeties are sucked in and they have to help because you're getting run on all day. I mean, that's when they're at their best. So it's a lot to handle. I mean, it is a better matchup for this Titans defense than a lot of the other potential matchups right now. I mean, if we were talking about Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes or Baker Mayfield, you know, I mean, you go down the list, you would prefer this, you know, because you've done it well. And even with this defense, I mean, it's also, I like to separate the last two performances because last year's defense was very different from this year's defense and performance, but still, even with this defense, you did a pretty darn good job against it, but it doesn't guarantee anything. You have a formula, but you have to execute within the formula, and there's still game plan that can be different. And obviously it comes down to making those plays. Are the guys going to keep making these plays? And I think it starts up front for the Titans. And this is where you've got to be physical and powerful up front to start. And then everything else falls into line.
And then you look at the other side of the ball, and it is going to be different for the Titans in this game. You've got Calais Campbell back in the fold, Brandon Williams back in the fold, two guys that were not a part of that contest back in November between the Titans and the Ravens. How does the offensive line hold up? We've seen at times this year, even with Lewan out, the line looks good. They're able to hold their own. And we've seen other times, like the Green Bay game, where it was a struggle for this offensive line. Tannehill was under duress. They were getting penetration in the backfield all night long. This is going to be a huge test, I think, for this offensive line. When you look at the other side, the line of scrimmage, all the weapons that Baltimore has up front, this is a big test for this Titans offensive line. I think maybe the key to the game is how do they respond to it? Are you able to give Tannehill enough time back there to throw?
Yeah, and the second half of that last meeting, you know, of course, they lost Tyson Brailo in that, you know, late in the game, late in regulation. So David Questenberry comes in and does a really amazing job, I think, in his time, including dealing with Yannick Ngakoue on his own a few times and doing a great job. And Ngakoue, I think, is going to play. That's another key, you know, personnel thing here for the Ravens defense, have that pass rushing presence. But the Titans did a really good job. And then again, late in the game, you get Derrick Henry loose and win the game. But it is different. You bring in Campbell, you bring in Williams. Yes, different run stopping, but also the interior of that line handling Campbell as a pass rusher, as we saw last season, and it was Jamil Douglas primarily, but Calais Campbell wrecked a game. You know, one of those wonderful Titans Jaguars Thursday night games. But he's a guy who has crafty moves, quick feet, and he can get quickly to your quarterback if you aren't doing a good job there. So it's a different kind of challenge.
And then A.J. Brown, Corey Davis had a good game last time against the Ravens in that secondary. And you look around, I mean, Peters is there, Humphrey is there. You've got a lot of things you feel good about if you're Baltimore in the secondary. You know, if you're the Titans, you're confident heading into it because you have had success in the passing game against them already this year. But I think still a huge challenge going up against this Baltimore secondary that typically does a pretty good job of shutting things down in the passing game.
Yeah, I mean, those guys have got to be motivated. If anybody got punked the last time around, I mean, it was those guys. I mean, A.J. Brown takes their entire secondary into the end zone with them. And, you know, Corey Davis really had the bigger game. Corey Davis was killing them in this game. So that's a great matchup. You know, however it works out, those two guys versus, you know, the Titans, the two guys who obviously are just going to get the bulk of the targets Sunday, that's another just fantastic matchup, the kind of matchup you hope to have, you know, in an NFL playoff weekend.
So coming up next, we'll get the latest on the Baltimore Ravens and how they match up against the Titans heading into this game. Former Ravens wide receiver and co-host of the Purple pregame and postgame show on WJZ-TV in Baltimore, Kadri Ismail will join us. That's coming up next. You'll listen to Robbie and Rex Road live from the Wholesale Link studio, powered by RumbleOn.com here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.